doing some amazing things in this hour. God is doing a new thing in Victory Life Church. God is doing a new thing in our homes. Do you not perceive it? Do you not receive it? Amen. Can I get a witness? Do you want what God has for you in this new year? Because God, amen. Amen to that, man. You know, a lot of our blessings has to deal with, do I want it? Do I want to step forward? Do I want to step out in faith? Do I want to just say, God, I want what you got for me? Because that can be kind of scary. Can I get a witness? So we're going to kind of talking about that today. Little background, Isaiah 43, it's a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah talking to the Israelite people. Now, keep in mind that at this time of the prophecy, Israel has broken up into two nations. Okay, remember we had King Saul. After King Saul, we had David. After David, we had Solomon. Then Solomon's son, Rehoboam, something like that, Rehoboam. He was such a knucklehead that through him, the nation split into two nations. You got the 10 northern tribes, which kept the name as Israel proper. And then down low in Jerusalem, we have Judah. So this prophecy is for all the Israelite people, but Isaiah is pointing the finger at the Judah, at the Judeans, at the tribe of Judah, because Israel, the 10 northern tribes, have already went or will go into captivity to the Assyrians. Now, he's talking to Judah, and he says, you guys aren't off the hook either. You guys have been unfaithful as well. And it's not the unfaithfulness, but it's the refusal to repent of your unfaithfulness. Amen? And that's what was going on. Well, they weren't repenting of their sin. God had pleaded with them through the prophets, repent or this is going to happen to you. So Isaiah is saying, look, you're going to go into captivity to the Babylonians, which is modern day Iraq. You're going to go into captivity to these guys. All right. You like idols so much, you're going downtown to Idol Central. That's what you want. There you go. So they're going to go into captivity, but God doesn't stop there. He says, don't be fearful because I'm going to be with you. And he says, I will redeem you, or I will deliver you from this. So you're going to go into captivity, but you're going to be delivered after a certain amount of time. You're going to be set free. And then the verses, so last week we talked, I think it was verses 1 and 2. So in between verses 3 and 17, talking about redemption, even talking about Babylon themselves will be judged by God for what they do to the Israelite people. They're very, very cruel taskmasters. So here we are, Isaiah 43, 18 through 21. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Let's praise. Let's go to slide 2 and let's pray. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your anointing in this service, Lord, because it's your anointing that's going to set us free. It's your anointing that's going to break the yoke. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done in this service, and that if there's anybody in here that does not know you, that they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before they leave. And Father God, thank you for your guidance and your leading us. Let us receive this word and walk in it, and thank you, what needs to be said will be said. And we love you and praise you in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Everybody in church building said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. God is good. Can I get a witness? Look with me, Isaiah 43 in verse 18. So let's just kind of break this down. Remember, it's a prophecy. So as Isaiah is giving this to the people, God's people, it's yet to happen. But we have the privilege of looking back. So we know that just like God said it was going to happen, it happened exactly like that. Even the deliverance, even the judging of the Babylonians, all that. You know, so moving forward, Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now, it's very, very important, not just for the Israelite people, but for me and for you. Amen. So let's do it again. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't allow yourself to be stuck in the pain of the past. Think about that. Don't allow yourself to be stuck in the pain of the past, your rejections, your hurts, your own failures. Don't let that keep you back from moving forward with what God has for you. Amen. Remember, God's talking to these people before it actually happens. And he says, listen, okay, you're going there because of your unrepentance, but this is what you need to do. And like I said, not just for them, but for me and for you as well. Okay. Don't be burdened down with the pains and torments of your past. Okay. So if there's sin in my life, that's what we're talking about. Sin is what got them in that place, or not repentance of that sin. So look with me at 1 John 1 and verse 9, okay? Because we do need to clear that slate from time to time. Can I get a witness? You know what I mean? God says, don't be burdened by what you did yesterday, okay? Don't let that hold you back from the new thing I want to do in your life, but let that thing bring you to repentance. And let, like Ashley said, lay it at the Lord's feet. And don't pick it up again. Amen. And so what that is, 99% of it is a process, because Satan is going to whisper right back in your ear, remind you of your past, and you remind him, no, I'm forgiven of that. I have been delivered from that, and I walk in the standpoint of victory from that from here on out. Amen. So real fast, this is what we do. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, don't be burdened by it. Give it to the Lord. Don't let it hold you back. And we all got them. If every single person in here is a Christian person, we still sin quite often. Can I get a witness? Probably a few times before you pulled into the parking lot. Can I get a witness? But look, if we confess our sins, that's not just that is not just alone saying, hey, everybody, this is what I did. And be wise about doing that, by the way. You take it to the Lord, and we should have people that we, accountability people or whatever. But look, check this out. To confess it is to actually see it the way God sees it. So when we're talking about repentance, we're talking about, you know, okay, here's trouble, and I'm doing an about face. I'm turning away from it. Now, to confess it is to see it the way God sees it. And a lot of times that's got to be a work of the heart, man. That's got to be God renewing your mind and allowing yourself, or allowing God to show you how repulsive this is to him. Can I get a witness? But this is what we do. If we confess our sins, sometimes we like sinning, man. Amen. We all have the potential to have our pet sins that we don't want to get rid of, that we don't want to let go. So we got to, you know, well, the word of God, let God be true and every man a liar. So if God does not approve of it, then the problem's not with the word of God. The problem's not with God. The problem's with me being a rebellious kid. You know what I mean? So where am I at? If we confess our sins, this is what God says I'll do. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. So don't allow that junk to hold you back or put you in a place of despair and discouragement. Because if you're like me, it's very easy for you to go back to that place mentally. You're like, oh my God. You know those moments, you know, where you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that stupid, you know what I mean? God says, you know what, man? God took it. When you gave it to him, God took it and he threw it away. And he's never going to pull it back up again. The next time you mess up, he's not going to go digging in the pile and say, okay, yeah, you messed up today, but also check this out. You remember this big guy? You remember that? He's not going to do that. He says, it's done. That's been washed away by the blood of my son. You know? So he says, you give it to him. Don't pick it up. Okay, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's really what we're talking about today. He's going to set the Jewish people free. Okay, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now look what the Apostle Paul said about this thing, because we're not going to be burdened about this stuff. We're going to give it to God. Philippians 3:13, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. We've read this verse probably 20 times. Not today, but we've done this verse a lot. But let's spend a little time in it like it's our first time in the Word right here at this verse. Brothers, talking to Christian folks, talking to people like me and you. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, I love that part as a preacher. Like I said before, I love that part because the Apostle Paul is saying, yeah, I got an audience, but I'm not saying I've got it all figured out. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Okay, I'm not, because I'm on a podium with a Bible in front of me talking to you guys, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but this is one thing I'm actually pretty good at, because I'm pretty good about this, is I take my past and I leave it in the past. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. That's the message Isaiah's given. It's like, don't be burdened by that stuff. Give it to God. Leave it at the foot of the cross and get excited about what God wants to do in your life. Learn the lessons from that. Let God use you. Let God bring something beautiful out of those ashes. Okay? But don't be bound by that. Don't. It's like going on a hike with, you know, boulders in your backpack or something. You're not going to get anywhere. Can I get a witness? Plus, they'll probably really bad on your knees. Tell the truth, shame the devil. But he says, I leave the past behind. You know, so you look at the Apostle Paul's life. No kidding, man. Yes, I totally get why you cannot live in your past, Paul. You know what I mean? This is the dude that was Saul of Tarsus that went around dragging people out of their homes, dragging people out of church meetings and Bible studies for proclaiming their love and affection for Jesus Christ. He was taking these people, putting them through their little monkey trials and having them put to death. So, yeah, man, he said, I can't be burdened by that stuff. God does not want me to be burdened by that stuff. I've been forgiven of that stuff. So I'm not looking back at that stuff. I'm moving forward. One time, man, years ago, it was about 5 years ago, I guess. But I haven't had a really good relationship with riding lawnmowers. I haven't had a really good relationship with lawnmowers in general, really. But that's a whole nother sermon, I guess. But so one time I get this lawnmower donated to me, and all of them have been wonderful, wonderful gifts. But a brother of mine gives me this lawnmower, and it works good for a couple of days. But man, I'm a couple times around the yard, you know what I mean? And dude, I'm about 3/4 of the way finished with cutting my front yard, which ain't a lot of grass there because I got oak trees. Anyways, I kid you not, dude. This lawnmower breaks down to the where the only way I can cut grass is to drive it in reverse, man. Yeah. So I'm like in my yard, like driving backwards, trying, because I'm like, you know, I got to finish this, man. I got to do it, you know what I mean? And I'm like running over rocks and stuff like that. And chopping up Rachel Jean's plants. So that has nothing to do with the sermon. I just, if you're in the market, if you get a new lawnmower, you can give me the old one. No, I'm playing. Yeah, it's not really productive to try and drive around backwards, man. Amen. We're moving forward. Can I get a witness? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. It seemed better last night when I was like, yeah, this would be a good, whatever. Okay. But look, okay. So God says, don't be bound by your past. He says, forget all that nonsense, all right? And that's a process. It really is a process. Your forgiveness is instantaneous. But you got to forgive yourself, man. And Satan can be very unrelenting at trying to steal, kill, and destroy and keep you from being productive. And Satan is so fearful of a Christian understanding that I am forgiven of all that mess. That scares him to death. You know, but okay, so same group of scriptures, but look with me at Isaiah 43:16 and 17. Thus, same prophecy, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Okay, so God says, just forget the past, just let it go. But now, two verses above where he says, forget your past, two verses above that he says, but remember this. What's he talking about? Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. He's talking about the Exodus story. Remember, he's talking to people. You're going to Babylon for 70 years, plant vineyards, get a day job, get the kids enrolled in school. You're going to be there for a little bit, right? You're going to be there for a minute, but don't forget about what I did in the past. Forget about the nonsense that has been burdening you. Amen. Forget about that stuff, but think about my faithfulness. Never forget how I delivered you in the past, and let that give you encouragement and strength for the days ahead when you're going through these hard times. Can I get a witness? It says, don't forget what I did, because your forefathers, they were slaves for 400 years. I heard their prayers. I sent Moses. I sent the 10 plagues. I set the captives free. And then they're facing the Red Sea. It was a Red Sea. Almost, I wanted to say the Yellow River. Don't know why. They're facing the Red Sea. And, you know, okay, so it's a between a rock and a hard place, right? They got the enemy, the Egyptian army. Pharaoh wakes up, is like, okay, who's going to build my palaces? Who's going to build this? I'm not going to do it. Are you going to do it? I'm not going to do it. You just let all the slaves go, dude. Well, yeah, man, it was crazy because they just killed all our firstborn sons. You would have done the same thing. So anyways, they decide they're going to go. We're going to get our slaves back. You know the story. Man, it was a hopeless situation, but it was one of those but gods, you know what I mean? God steps in, and he parts the Red Sea. So the Israelites cross over not in muddy ground, not in miry, yucky clay, but on dry ground. So that's God's provision right there. Where I spent a lot of my youth, I grew up on Jones Street, a lot of my youth on Jones Street. I'm really an East Milton kid, but anyways, down by the hospital, spent several years down there with my mom and my dad as well. But there's a couple lakes out there, man. And I don't know what happened, man. But one day these two lakes, they drained it. All God's people said drained it. I don't think anybody meant that to happen, but all the water went out one day, you know? So me and my buddies, you know, this is before you start chasing girls and drugs and all that stuff. Anyways, it was like, hey, you know what? This sounds like a great idea. Let's go walk in the middle of that lake because there ain't no water in it anymore. So as a little kid thing, or young kid thing, and we go walking in there, and don't know why it didn't sink in that, hey, that's going to be really gooey stuff, man. But the deeper we got, man, it was like mud, like up to our knees and stuff in some places. And we were like losing our shoes, you know, and we were so nasty. And man, but the Israelites didn't have to deal with any of that. I'm surprised we didn't get like some weird disease, or maybe that's where it all started for me. I don't know. But okay, so here's the deal, man. That would not be possible for the Israelites to cross over on that. They couldn't have pulled their livestock. They couldn't have pulled their wagons through that. They went over on dry ground all the way. It was so picture perfect that when the Egyptians got there, they're like, looks good to me. And they all start going in their chariots and all that. But when the last Egyptian got in there, God said, all right, you know what I mean? Just drown them old boys. And God says, that part, don't forget that part. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're going to go through some tough times, but something's good going to come out of this. Sometimes we got to go through that time of correction. Amen. But God always does it for a reason, and his correction is perfect. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness? All right, tell the truth, shame the devil. Okay, now look at Psalm 137. Do we have that? Psalm 137. Psalm 137. I really pack in these verses, man, in these slides. So God bless Brother Dalton for just making it all work out. So Psalm 137, verses 1 and 2, because also we can be kind of hindered of our future or kept from our future because we're kind of stuck in the good old days. Does that make sense? Kind of stuck in the old way when all the kids were home or whatever, you know, whatever that is to you, right? God says, well, that chapter's finished. You learned the lessons from it. You got the memories from it. Now you move forward. Can I get a witness? Because, you know, God's all about this moving forward thing, that forward momentum thing. And Satan's all about just keeping you back. And he wants you to be stuck in the past. You know what I mean? If for some of us, for a lot of us, the past is a very painful place. And Satan knows that, you know? But God says, no, man, whenever that happens, remember that you've been set free from that. Remind yourself, remind your neighbor, remind whoever you got to that that's not you anymore. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. So Psalm 137 is a psalm about when the same people get carried off into captivity into Babylon. So this is what they say. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. All right, okay, that makes sense. There we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. I remembered the old hometown, the old days. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there, we hung our lyres, our lyres, our harps. So these praisers, now that they're in captivity, they're like, I can't worship God here. I don't want to be here. I don't like this place. They take their harps, they take their instruments, like, now, thank God they didn't bash them and destroy them, you know, but they're like, I ain't using this for a while, you know, I ain't got nothing to sing about. No, God wants us to praise him right where we're at, you know, and to be grateful and thankful right where we're at, and, you know, that helps us get through those hard times, is to praise God, to give him the sacrifice of praise when nothing in you wants to praise God. That's when we really need to dig in and praise God. And as you praise God, he is going to begin to show you oodles. All God's people said oodles. Oodles of things that we can be thankful for. You know what I mean? So sometimes we can be held back because we're not in the place of life where we feel like we should be right now. And God says, no. You praise me right here and right now. And you get excited about your future and just move forward in me. Amen. Tell the truth. Okay, let's go to slide 3 or the next slide. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Really, verse 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now, this is where it really, really gets good. Behold, pay attention. Put on your thinking cap. Remember that? Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? God says, look, I'm doing a new thing. This is a prophecy. He's talking about the future. He's talking about them being in bondage in Babylon. But he says, hey, guys, that's not the end for you. That's not the end of my people. I'm going to do a new thing. I got something planned for you guys that is just mind-blowing. You know, and big picture, what the prophet is talking about, which Isaiah has tons of prophecies about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ. And that's really big picture. That's what he's talking about. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, a new covenant, because we're talking about setting the captives free. Can I get a witness? So he who the Son sets free, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So he's really, or one of the layers is he's talking about Jesus Christ. Luke 4, in verse 18, check this out with me. Luke 4 and verse 18. This is actually Jesus Christ himself reading from the prophet Isaiah 2, Isaiah 61. So Jesus is back in the old hometown in Nazareth. So he's there. He's at the synagogue. They give him the scroll of Isaiah, or he asks for the scroll of Isaiah. And he goes to this verse, Isaiah 61, verse 1, and this is what he reads. Remember, big picture, it's not just setting the captives free from Babylon, but it's setting us free from our sin. Amen. So Luke 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord, this is what Jesus said to this crowd. You know, it'd be like, well, no, it's not really like that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Listen to this. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Or the NLT says, he has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released. Liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. There you go, Rachel. And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed. So Jesus reads this scroll in church one Saturday, and he's like, he rolls it up. He's like, today this scripture is fulfilled in your sight, or something like that. And those guys are like, you used to work at the cabinet shop with your daddy down the road. I don't know about that one. I know your brothers, and you know, but you know what, man? He wouldn't lie. He wouldn't lie. But he said, look, this is what I'm here for, to set the captives free. You see, some captives are so stuck in the past or so scared of the future, you can open up the gates and they're like, I ain't going out there. I can't go out. It's scary. If I sit in here, I'm getting 3 squares a day. I got to be productive if I walk out that door. And God says, no, man, that's where the life is, man. So he who the Son sets free is free indeed. But yeah, he is talking about setting the Israelites free out of Babylon, but he's talking about setting me and Nancy and Josh and Rachel and Robin and Sister Claudia, setting us free. Amen. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. I like that part. I like that because God is saying, you guys, when it happens, it's going to be suddenly, it's going to be just like that. Boom. It's going to happen really, really fast. You know, and that speaks to me. And I'm not just trying to do a beginning of the year sermon, but I'm trying to be obedient to what God's telling us in this hour. And he says, church people, get ready because I'm going to do something exciting, and you can be left behind if you want to. Okay. You can have business as usual if you want to, but God doesn't want that for us. He says, get excited because it's going to spring up. It's going to happen. It's going to happen fast. Now, do you want it? Do you perceive it? Can you imagine? All right. Can I get a witness? So look at me, Exodus 12 and verse 11. There's so many similarities between the Exodus out of Babylon with the Exodus out of Egypt. So he's saying, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Exodus 12 and verse 11. One of these parallels. The Israelite people are about to be set free from Egypt. God says through Moses, you guys need to have this Passover meal, which is a picture of Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. Says you need to have this Passover meal, but this is not going to be some leisurely sitting around the table talking to Junior about what he did at school yesterday. This is not that type of meal. I want you to eat this Passover meal, but this is how you eat the Passover meal. Okay. Exodus 12 and 11. In this manner, you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Now, those first two things, I'm like, okay, all right, belt fastened. All right. Don't loosen that till after I eat anyway. Yep. Belt fastened with your sandals on. I got it. But then he says, and your staff in your hand. Okay. Well, staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So this is a thing of faith for the Israelite people. God says, do it. Now, if you want the blessing, you do what he says. If you don't, it ain't going to work out for you like God wants it to. But he says, you eat it like this, like you are ready to go. Like you're being prepared to eat this and head out the door because 400 years of bondage and slavery is going to be up tomorrow. So get ready to go. And so it's a sudden change, that pendulum. See, I'm trying to talk about things I don't really know. But you know, that paradigm shift, that thing, right? God wants to do that for us. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Do you not perceive it? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. It springs forth. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not think that I can do this? You look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11, which also, Jeremiah 29, 11, who we're no stranger to that verse. You know, me and Miss Brenda know that verse by heart, don't we? We've done it many, many times. Me and Miss Linda Gale have done it. Me and Babs, we've done it many, many times because we want to be optimistic about our future, you know? But Jeremiah 29, 11, talking to the Babylonian exiles. Same group of cats, man. He's saying, look, this is what's going to happen, but that's not the end of you. There's better days ahead. He says, be optimistic, get excited, because when it's going to come, it's going to come, and you need to be ready to go. You got to receive what God wants for you. Amen. So, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. That's so important right there. When God declares it, that's what matters. Remember, that's what we talked about last week. Declares the Lord. Well, what's your plan for me, God? Plans to prosper you and not harm you. I got 70 years of slavery coming up. The end result is going to be beautiful. Okay? This is how you had to learn the lesson I had for you. This is the road you really were determined to go down, right? But look, that's not the end. That's not the end. So you don't be bound by your past mistakes. Ask for forgiveness. Carry on. Serve the Lord. Amen. But he says, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you. The end result, not harm you. He's not saying there won't be pain in the offering. He's not saying there won't be suffering in hard times. But he's saying, oh, the end result is going to be so worth it, man. It's like the woman in childbirth. You know, Jesus uses that picture. He was like, it ain't really happy, fun time for the lady giving birth. But after the fact, it's a beautiful thing. She forgets about all that. That's in the Bible. Yeah. Thank God for medical advancements. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God just saying, man, get excited. Well, I don't like where I'm at right now in my life. Get excited. Serve him right where you're at. And get excited because he says, I'm doing a new thing. But you got to want it, man, or it's going to go to somebody else. Okay. Do you not perceive it? Do you want it? Do you want what God has for us? Because we get comfortable. We can get very comfortable in our little lives, how they are. I'm not saying you're comfortable. I think no Christian should ever be comfortable where their relationship is with the Lord. You know, God constantly wants us to move forward. And what I mean by that is go deeper in him. You know, be more devoted to him who is devoted to you. Be more faithful to him who is faithful to you. Be more loving to him who loved you first. But look at, just a little story right here. John 5:5-6. You guys got that? John 5:5-6. Okay. John 5:5-6. So here's Jesus doing the thing. And he goes to the pool of Bethesda. Pool of Bethesda. There's a lot of sick people hanging out at that pool, man. There is a folklore, some urban legend about the pool having some sort of healing properties or something like that. But anyway, so a lot of people gathered around this pool. And there was this dude that had been an invalid for like 38 years. That's a long time, man, to be hurting. You know what I mean? One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus, that, you know, to be an invalid, it's not a good time. It's not good. But we can kind of get set in, you know, well, this is just how my life is. You know, I 2 o'clock, gun smoke comes on. 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, gun smoke comes on. 3 o'clock, bonanza. 4 o'clock, rawhide. That's what I do. I'm an invalid. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we just get comfortable with just how it is. Not that you like being an invalid, but this is what it is. But God can, my brother. John 5:5-6. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time, dude. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, He said to him, do you want to be healed? That's what I'm talking about, man. Jesus looked at this guy. He's been an invalid for 38 years. And he's like, first thing I got to ask you, do you want to be healed? Are you just going to be satisfied with where your life is now? God says, no, don't be sad. Yes, yes. Don't be satisfied with where it is. Even if you are in agony and in pain and in torment, man, we got to give it to God. We got to move forward. Amen. Can I get a witness? Because we can stagnate and say, well, this is just how it is. And God says, no. Can I get a witness? No. We want what God wants. So first thing he says, he doesn't say, arise and be healed. He doesn't say, take up your mat. He says, do you want to be healed? Because you can sit here for another 38 years if you want to. And the guy starts saying all these excuses and all that. It's like, Jesus, I don't want to hear that. Everybody's got excuses. Have y'all figured that out yet? That God doesn't really, he's not really interested in excuses. He's like, no, man, I was there when that happened. That ain't how that went down. Yeah. I'll tell the truth, shame the devil, but get excited. Now, okay, so look. When these Israelite people got set free from Babylon, well, this is how it really worked. Okay, really short, fast, boring history lesson. Remember, God said he's going to judge the Babylonians for what they did. So the Persians, modern-day Iran, so their little thing's been going on for quite a while. Modern-day Iran took over Babylonia or Iraq. So now it's a package deal. All the Israelite slaves now are the property of Persia. Yeah, so now they're ruled by the Persians. Well, this King Cyrus, he says, you know what? You guys, you can go rebuild your temple that the Babylonians destroyed. You can go rebuild the walls. You know what? Matter of fact, if you guys want to go, you guys just go back home. Cyrus was not a godly man. He was not a God-following man. He was a pagan. But God used this ungodly man to do God's purposes. And it happens all the time. So don't be frustrated when you see your favorite politician doing things you don't like, or the guy you don't like, God elected or whatever. God's the one that's in charge. Amen. Pray for those that are in authority, but God's the one that's in charge. Amen. He's the one that sets the captives free. Okay. So anyways, now this is the crazy part, Rex. So Cyrus says, all right, off with you. You guys can go. That was a total God thing. That was a suddenly. Hey, go. Off with you. See, here's the deal, man. And this is true. The majority of the Jews by this time, this is a true statement. Majority of the Jews are like, just stay here. We'll stay here. My kids like the school. You know, they got friends here. You know, whatever. There's a million and one reasons. But God was like, you can go home. It's time for you to go back. But a lot of those cats just stayed there. Matter of fact, you know the story about Esther? That whole thing, that was after Esther and that whole debacle where all those Jews almost got killed. That whole thing took place after they were already released to go back home. But a lot of the Jews are like, no, we're just going to stay here. We got jobs here. We like how they do the barbecue, whatever. Look, man, this is not your home, right? This is not your home. God wants to use us while we're here, but he says, get excited about your future, but be about my business. It's not about you being comfortable. Amen. It's about being about God's business. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So he says, I'm going to let you guys go. This isn't the end for you. You're going to be set free. And yes, I know what you're thinking. There's a big, vast wilderness between the old hometown and Babylon. And, you know, people die of exposure. They die of hunger. They die of not having water. And there's those wild animals and pirates and all that sort of thing out there. But he says, no. It's treacherous ground. But I'm going to make a road right through it for you. I'm going to make a way for you to get home. You stay in Babylon, but I don't want that for you. But I'll make a road right through the wilderness, all through that treacherous business. I'll make a road for you. Matter of fact, I'll bring up rivers out there, man. I'll make sure you, God is saying, I'll make sure that everything's taken care of. Don't worry yourself with all the crazy details of how this is going to happen or that's going to happen. No, when the suddenly happens, don't be too scared to step out. Step out. Go home. I'll make a way for you. I will provide for you. Amen. Same thing for me and you, man. Same thing for me and you. God says, get excited about the future, Victory Life Church. Get excited about what I'm doing in your life and your heart and your home and your country and all that stuff. But don't be scared. I'll do the part you can't do. Just be willing. Right? So just throwing this in there for good measure. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, because that's what it breaks down to, or that's what it boils down to, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because if you listen to yourself or your heart, that can be very deceitful. Can I get a witness? Like, I'm staying in Babylon, man. Mm-mm. God has just set you free. Now go out there and get your blessing. I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. I'll do the part you can't do. I want to bless you, man. I want to bless you. I want to use you. Amen. It says, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is how I explain it to my friends. You know, you take the Bible and you believe what it says. You believe what the Bible says and don't lean on your own understanding. So if your mind, your body, your heart, your grandma, the fancy boy at work tells you something different, no. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust the fancy boy at work. You know him. I'm going to trust in God's word 100%, right? And look, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't look at how something looks so impossible, you know? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Number one, believe him to be true. Number two, don't deceive yourself. Number three, submit to him. Believe the word, but submit to the word. Amen. Put that knowledge into action. Amen. In all your ways, acknowledge him or submit to him, and he will make straight your paths. I'll make a path through the desert for you, man. I'll get you to the place in life I need you to be. Amen. And we want to be where God wants us to be. Amen. Victory Life Church wants to move forward in what God wants. Whatever that looks like. And he is doing something, man. I know you feel it. A lot of you guys feel it. You know, that God's doing something in this church and in this hour. And he started it right here and in all your hearts, man. And he's saying, those of you that can perceive it, those of you that are excited, get ready for that suddenly. Hey, Isaiah 43:20. The wild beasts will honor me. The jackals and the ostriches. The wild beasts will honor me. The jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The beasts, he's talking about, don't worry about them wild animals, man. Well, you know, I've been through those parts in a long time. They'll honor my word. The animals are going to do what I tell them to do. Take a lesson from them animals that want to rip you from limb to limb because they ain't going to be able to touch you because they're listening to me. Why don't you start listening to me, tough guy, right? But look, he says, I'll make rivers in the desert to give drink to who? My chosen people. Who's his chosen people? You are his chosen people. He, before the foundations of the earth, he loved you and he formed you and knitted you together in your mommy's womb and gave you life and saved your soul. But he handpicked you before there was even an earth, before there was even a star in the sky. He said, you're going to be my kid, you know? So that's how precious you are to him. Now, okay, so Philippians 4:19, talking about that provision, talking about those rivers of provision, and my God will supply every need of yours, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So our God is the creator of heaven and earth. Our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's actually a metaphor. He owns a lot more than that. But he's trying to get you to understand. He's like, I'm not hurting for money, dude. And I'm your dad. Okay? And because of Christ Jesus, because you accepted what Jesus Christ did, the moment you did that, You just became my child. I just scooped you up and adopted you. You know what I mean? And he says, I got everything you need. Now get ready. Get ready. And when I say jump, jump, dude. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. To give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself. That's us, man. He's talking about Israel. He took Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes, slavery and captivity, promised land, so on and so forth. But he's also talking about me and you. He formed you. He gave you life. He gave you life. And he redeemed you. Like he's talking about these guys. Remember, big picture is Jesus Christ. He redeemed you. He called you by name. He said, child, you are mine. You're mine, man. I redeemed you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Because God is doing all these great things, but look what God wants from you. He wants your obedience. Spoiler alert, he wants your obedience. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Think about that for a second. The creator of the universe dwells inside you, dwells inside me. You know what I mean? He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Here it is. Here's the kicker. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. See, you're going to serve somebody. And Jesus says, either you're with me, either you're for me, or you're against me. When a politician says that, I'm like, eh, whatever. But when God, the creator of the universe, says that, it's like E.F. Hutton. You need to listen, dude. That's a little aged reference, but Sister Dina got it. You remember E.F.? Never mind. Okay, but look, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. The most precious thing in the universe, the blood of Jesus Christ, is what purchased you. Salvation costs you nothing. Cost me nothing, but it costs God everything. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. Glorify God with your person. Now go back to Isaiah 43:21. The people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. He says, that's what I want from my people. I want them to honor me with who they are, and I want them to give me praise and glory and make my name famous throughout the world. So, man, I kid you not, man, God wants to do something amazing with us and through us and for us. And you say, well, don't boggle your mind on what it's going to be or what I need to do. Just be ready to be obedient, man. Continue to be obedient. And when he says suddenly, let's do this. But keep serving him. You see a need, do what you can. Pray for your brothers and sisters. You see someone that needs a helping hand, if you can do it, do it.